Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. This is Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The U.S. Department of Energy has a rich and diverse history with the lineage tracing back to the Manhattan Project. Today, DOE stands at the forefront of helping this nation meet its energy, scientific, environmental, and national security goal of developing and deploying new energy technologies and reducing our dependence on foreign energy sources. The success of such a critical mission rests on DOE's pursuit of an effective workforce strategy. With us this morning to discuss the Department of Energy's strategic human capital efforts is Dr. Jeff Pahn, Chief Human Capital Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Albert.
And joining us in our conversation is Solly Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Good morning, Solly.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Solly.
Jeff, let's start off by learning more about your department. Many of our listeners are generally familiar with the U.S. Department of Energy, but can you give us an overview of the history and the mission of the department?
Absolutely. It's probably one of the richest histories in our nation. As you take a look at the Department of Energy, I like to hearken it back to the three isms. We've combated three isms. One, fascism, Manhattan Project, yielding the atomic bomb, ending World War II. Communism, Cold War era, where we had to basically give a lot of resources to the nuclear complex to combat the rise and fall of the former USSR. And now terrorism. We are developing bomb technology, different types of detection technology. We are tasked as a mission for non-nuclear proliferation across the world. And we also maintain the nuclear stockpile. Those are three great missions that the U.S. Department of Energy has had in its history. But truth be known about this, as I was prepping for this interview, people always hearken back to the Manhattan Project and Oppenheimer and how he built the team with contractors. But I had this factoid actually run across my desk. In August 2nd, 1939, Albert Einstein actually wrote President Franklin Delano Roosevelt about research in developing a powerful bomb, and that Einstein noted that Germans had stopped the sales of uranium and German physicists were engaging in uranium research. That was probably one of the pivotal points where a scientist actually interacted with one of our chiefs of states. And I think from that interaction kind of grew a lot of the notion of a patriotic scientist.
Well, Jeff, that's certainly a very rich history and a very broad mission that you've described for the department. To help give us a sense of scale, could you tell us how the department is organized? Can you tell us a little bit about the size, the budget? You referenced the mix between federal employees and contractors. And also, can you describe the geographic footprint of the department?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first, I forgot to mention, in 1977, President Carter actually formalized the Department of Energy, and our first energy secretary was Jim Schlesinger. About 200 employees actually took over Building 5 of DOD, which is now known as the Forrestal Building. But in 1977, we kind of came together kind of like DHS. I sometimes describe Energy Department as being a myriad of different types of agencies. Those agencies were the Federal Energy Administration, Energy Research and Development Administration, Federal Power and Commissions. We run Bonneville Power Administration, which has a lot of different dams, utilities, transmission lines, all the way from the Columbia River system, Washington, Oregon, and also California, and it runs the gamut. So we do a lot of different things and a lot of different missions. Really, I think it's important to note that the Department of Energy's footprint is a domestic agenda. We have about 14,000 federal people across the whole entire complex. And we run 27 national laboratories, some of which you probably know of, Lawrence Berkeley, Sandia National Laboratories, Argonne, Fermi, too many to list in this conversation. But we pride ourselves as being on the forefront of scientific discovery. Where else in the whole entire world can you actually claim that you work for an organization that's trying to discover the meaning of the universe, mapping the human genome, making little stars at the NIF program. NIF stands for National Ignition Facility, where we actually fuse materials together to create different types of materials. One of my first experiences as a person that was growing up in the Bay Area was actually taking a tour at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory. And it was so inspirational after 20, 30 years growing up in the Bay Area and going over Interstate 280 and looking at very quickly on Sand Hill Road the Stanford Linear Accelerator, that big 2-mile stretch that goes right underneath 280, and actually knowing that you're a part of that complex and knowing that you're a part of a rich history of science and technology, 85 Nobel laureates that are associated with our DOE complex. That's just something that I take great pride in representing, and I hope that we are great stewards of the future of scientists and technologists in the Department of Energy.
Absolutely fascinating.
Jeff, now that you've provided us with the scope of the department and certainly a very fascinating description of the department, could you tell us more about your specific role? What are your responsibilities and duties as Energy's Chief Human Capital Officer? And could you tell us about the areas under your purview, how your office is organized, the size of your staff, as well as the budget?
Sully, I'll address that in a couple of different ways. I'll give you the standard one, which is the CHCO Act of, or the Chief Human Capital Officers Act of 2002. We are supposed to be the principal advisors to the head of the agencies. I do act as the principal advisor to the secretary and deputy secretary in all matters concerning our workforce, the development, retention, and recruitment of our workforce. But moreover, I think in the private sector, you have this thing called duties as assigned. That's very much emphasized here. We're not only working as human resources people, but really as strategic business partners to our most senior leadership here. We're in a business model. We run a $24 billion business. We're the largest funder of the physical sciences. So we have a large responsibility to do what's critical for workforce planning in alignment with the mission. That is my primary mission and goal, to make sure that we have the right talent at the right time, at the right place.
And regarding those responsibilities and duties, what are the most significant challenges that you've faced in your position, and how have you addressed these challenges?
My responsibility is to make sure that each and every one of our managers has the right information to make some critical decisions. We make sure while we are recruiting, selecting, and retaining people that our workforce strategies are effective in alignment with our priorities as an organization. If you take a look at the history of DOE, one of the chief challenges that we have is working together. Each and every one of our sites has a rich history, has their Nobel Prize winners. These different types of confluences around our whole entire complex makes it very difficult to align to a whole entire strategic mission and be one energy department. But when you come down to it, I think if you were to explain the Department of Energy, we're really in the business of managing science technology for energy security, national security, and American competitiveness in an environmentally responsible way. That's a huge portfolio. I asked the Secretary of Energy, are we a one company, one corporation with a leadership philosophy that's integrated across our organization where the golden mean or the bar is set at a certain level and everybody follows it? Or are we a holding company with 24 or 27 different LLCs? He answered it by saying, I believe that we are the latter, but striving to be the former. And that's my job here, is to make sure that we're aligning people practices, financial practices with the CFO, acquisition practices, because at the end of the day, if you're talking about functional things, and I know that the business of government program has not only human capital officers on, but CFO, COOs, and other different types, the bottom line is making sure your organization effectively is managed across the organization. So that's what we're trying to do. And in my office, we're tasked with doing some pretty interesting things that aren't just human resources related, but human capital related.
Well, I do want to get into some of the details of how you do keep the trains running in such a complex organization. But I'd like to learn a little bit more about you first, Jeff. You referenced private sector, and you're relatively new to the government. So I'm curious, can you tell us a little bit about your private sector career and what brought you to the federal government?
Sure. I came here to the federal government as a presidential appointee this time. I came here to serve this country and give back. That's one of the more important things that myself and my family wanted to do. It's really unplugged from the private sector. My wife and I were working in some great companies. I ran a couple of companies then at the time. I was experienced in doing a large-scale change at a big technology company, Fortune 250 company, repositioning them, going from 57 general ledgers to 3. So is that human capital? I would say it is, because it has to do with the management of human resources and how people make decisions.
So Jeff, that's obviously a very broad background. So I'm curious, how have those experiences shaped your current leadership style and how you manage today?
I think I'm blessed to having this job come here because it's really at the intersection of where my sweet spot is. I'm an industrial organizational psychologist, organizational change management expert, and I take a look at the government as being the most challenging organization, the most important company to run, 1.8 billion people. So I take a look at the complexity of our human resources function here in the federal government, and I take a look at it as an opportunity to improve an existing working system and taking the evolutionary approach of doing things in the government that's very meaningful for managers. Some of the policies and personnel procedures that we have were designed in the 1940s and 50s and continue to be managed and run that way. We have certain market pressures that we face as a federal government, and we're addressing those things in a concerted effort. So what brings me here is really a sense of challenge. It's really to make sure that it's a collaborative, as the president says, citizen-centered, market-driven, results-oriented government. And I think that's what the taxpayer expects. They want to make sure that the federal government is working in an effective and efficient manner.
That's great. So what is the Department of Energy's human resource strategy? We will ask Dr. Jeff Pond, Chief Human Capital Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.